Thank you for joining us. Get ready to be challenged as Pastor Stephen Sexton shares the word of truth. We pray that this message will activate your God-given potential as you are elevated to new heights by this motivational word.
Last week, we talked about being ready when more comes. That's what we talked about. And God spoke to our hearts because many in this place are on the verge of something great. Come on, who's on the verge of something great? I'm right there, baby. I'm right there. I'm on the verge of something great. You better get my autograph now because I'm going somewhere. You better take a picture because I'm going. I'm on the verge of something. Breakthroughs coming to my house. Now, I'll tell you this. You know, God spoke to our heart. And just like Israel was on the bank of the Jordan and waiting for the command to enter the promised land, the Jordan River wasn't the enemy. It was a place of preparation that God was calling his children to before they entered into more. And God is working even when we can't see anything happening. He's unlike anyone else. God is always good. God is always good. He's indescribable. If you tried to come up with a title for him, you can't. You can't read his resume. The ink will stop working in your pen. The paper, you'll run out. If you were going to describe every good thing that God has ever done, you can't do it. Because you don't know. God is on the next level. Have you ever been around someone who, and you know, you're just in the presence of someone on another level? Maybe a star, maybe you were flying somewhere, maybe a CEO of your company or the boss flies in from wherever and he wants to meet with you and you're just like, whoa, this is another level. You know what I'm saying? This is where your game face is on. You look good. You took a shower. You did everything right. You got your hair cut. You know, you're about to meet someone on another level. Maybe some pastor or someone, if Dr. James Dobson wanted to come and meet with you and get your insight, you know what I'm saying? Your teeth would be brushed. You know what I'm saying? Clothes would be tucked in, looking good. You know, just people on a next level. I've heard stories before of people who were on a plane flight and they saw this sports superstar sitting in first class and they walked by. I remember the one person that in particular, the story that I'm thinking, they saw T.O. on a first class flight and walked by and they were like, he was so big and so strong and so, just massive man. And they walked by and they were so, you know, nervous, intimidated to just say hi. And so finally they went up and said hi, and you're T.O. And he's like, yeah, I am. And, well, we watch you and it's cool. And T.O. said hi, and they went back. And, you know, it's just those moments. You see like a star or a movie star. I don't know why we get all giddy and excited about that kind of stuff, but we do. Doesn't matter. Maybe you don't care about Hollywood. You don't care about sports. But this man or woman of God comes in. It's just something about people who are doing a little bit more than you're doing. You know, I don't know why we do all that. It's kind of foolish. But maybe we think that because other people would love to be in this situation and meet them, that it's really neat. I mean, if the President of the United States wanted to meet with you, that would be an awesome honor. That would be a great, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter. If the President of the United, if the governor said, I want to meet with you. I got some ideas. I need your influence. I need to talk to you. I want your mindset. I need your perspective. That would be a Facebook-worthy status. You understand what I'm saying? Now, maybe we get like that because we know that they know other people of influence. And so meeting them is like a door opening to all of the other people we'll never meet. And so we see them, and it's like a little glimpse of Hollywood. Even though we're not there and we don't know anybody, we know you know people and we know you. It's awesome. I don't know. Maybe we think that, you know, they have a big impact. And so meeting them is like you're around people who know people. I remember a couple years ago, I was in a meeting. It was a small meeting of leaders and pastors, and we were, and John Maxwell came to speak. John Maxwell, leadership guy, used to be a pastor, has written lots of books, and they're reading off what he has done. John Maxwell, pastor of a church, Equip Leadership, meets with pastors, has written all of these books, and you know, it's just like something starts and you're like, oh, wow, that's great. And then he comes in, and John doesn't even care about any of that. I'm sitting like two rows down, and I can see him, and I'm just like, man, this is awesome. And John comes right up, and I'm sitting over here, and there's this woman over here, and he comes right up to her and shakes her hand and says, hi, my name's John. What's your name? She tells him her name, and he says, I want to be your friend. And I was right there. I was like, I want to be your friend too, John. I was getting excited. I was getting giddy. It was like, you know, John wasn't talking to me, but me and him, we had a moment, me and John. Mr. Maxwell. It was kind of a neat experience for me, and I don't even know why I was excited. I don't know why I was, but it's just something. I was just like, man, it's great. Do you understand? Can you comprehend? There is no one like the Lord. There is no one like the Lord. He is strong and mighty and able to do more than you can imagine. Don't limit God in your life. He's awesome. He is awesome. He holds the world, the universe, right in the palm of his hand. The Bible says that when you cry a tear, he snatches it, he catches it. It doesn't fall to the ground. God is awesome. I mean, he's awesome. Maybe you're so ready to move into more that it consumes you. And you feel like you're right there, right there, right there. Others, maybe you're in the right place. You're right where God's called you to be, but you're just in a hard season of life. And that happens. Even in the promised land, that happens. There are hard seasons. Wherever you are today, God is faithful and he deserves praise. Wherever you are today, God is faithful and he deserves praise. He's a restorer, provider, protector, guide. He's the burden bearer, the lifter of my head, a merciful God, a loving God. A God who heals, the only God, the God who answers prayers. What I'm saying is God is on another level, and no one can compare to him. When you try to describe him, your words fall short of describing his beauty, awesomeness, greatness. Psalms 150 verse 6 says this, let everything that have breath, come on, what does it say? Praise the Lord. My assignment today is give him praise. My assignment today is give him praise. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 4, verse 4, and we're going to move right on from where we were last week. We're going to move right on from where we were. Joshua chapter 4, verse 4, and we're going to talk about giving praise. Joshua 4, 4, when you got it, say, I got it. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from Israel, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israel, to serve as a sign among you in the future. When your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Now, can we just go back a little bit? Here is the situation. The people of God, Israel's chosen people, have been delivered from the hand of bondage and slavery. They've been sent out, set apart on a mission, provided for, quail, a cloud by day, light at night. They've been taken care of. They've moved out of that old life, and they're on the verge of something great. Now, just like all of us, you have a plan, but God has a plan, and sometimes we try to, okay, I'm going to move from Pharaoh's house, I'm going to be in the wilderness, I'm going to go through there for a little while, and then I'm going to be there, and I'm going to have this awesome house. But God is working some stuff out. He's working some stuff out in the children of Israel. He had them go out, send out some spies to check out the land. They came back with a bad report and said, we can't go in the land. We look like grasshoppers. We're too small. And so God knew right then, the mentality is not right. You're not going to win a game thinking you're going to lose. Yeah. You can't take the land thinking you can't. And so we're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait because we have a generation of doubters. We have a generation of people that say no. We have a generation of people, and you can't overcome that with a message. You can't overcome that with a sermon. You can't overcome some of that has to just go on. And what I'm telling you is, listen, we're in a place in our world where some of that philosophy, some people are just not going to change. Now, we believe that God will change their heart, and we believe that everyone will change. But God ultimately knows that when you're a fool, what does it say? The Bible says, a fool says in their heart, there is no God. At that point in time, you are only looking for a miracle. Because they can't receive wisdom. They can't receive sound advice. They can't receive, hey, let's do this. And we got a lot of foolish people. But I believe that there's a generation coming up that is ready to take something that fools wouldn't take. You hear what I'm saying? I believe there's a generation coming and raising up, and you guys are so important to this generation because the sacrifices that you're making, the things that you're doing, is allowing a culture of young people, a culture of college age, a culture of people to say, you know what? What if there are no limitations to God? What if we can take it? What if we can do it? The danger of preaching a sermon, making a point like this, is because many people who are of the older generation think, well, what are you saying? Are you saying that, you know, we need to go on and let other people do? What I'm saying is you're very vital, and your outlook will determine who you launch. Your outlook will determine who you launch. Either you will fade away, or you will launch someone into a place that they made it there because of you. Does it make sense? And so here they are. Their back is against the Jordan. They want to go over. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years. And Moses passes away. And Joshua takes over leadership. And God speaks to Joshua and says, it is now time. Get your people in order. Clean your house. Get us ready. Line us up. We're about to go where we could not have been before. I'm about to open something up that has been closed. And I'm about to do something great. I'm about to do something great. Now, can you just be there for that moment? Can you just be there? Here they are. The priests walk in with the ark. The waters are at flood stages. And all of a sudden, everything just starts to move out. And you've heard about this kind of stuff. but you've never seen it. See, 40 years, 40 years. And we all know that. We watch the 700 Club. We watch TBN. We know it can happen for other people. We just don't know it can happen for us. We know it can happen. We know our Father. We know other people who had a Red Sea parting moment. But Red Sea parting moments don't happen for me. Red Sea parting moments don't happen for my generation. Red Sea parting moments don't happen. They happen for my fathers. But it's been 40 years. If it was going to happen, it would have happened. See, that blessing, that provision, that all of that stuff, that happens for other people. That don't happen for... Line up. Get ready. Can you imagine that moment as the waters stood upright and the hand, the breath of God, moved that water out and it stand at attention? Can you just imagine that moment as you're walking through? The ground is not moist, it's not muddy, it's not clammy, it doesn't stick to your feet. Come on, how many of y'all, your parents, you always are in a conundrum when your kids play in the mud because you want them to have fun, but you don't want it all in the house. You know what I'm saying? And so you're like, for real, wash your feet. Yeah, and so there is no mud. There's no trace of being on that other side. Clean. Dirt. Waters are standing. If you are adults, can you imagine what the elderly were thinking in that moment? Oh, I've lived long enough to see it change. I've lived long enough to see the waters move. I've been praying for this for years. My parents told me about it, and I've not died yet. God allowed me to see it. God allowed me to see it. If you're the young generation, don't you know they're putting their hands in the water on the other side? Wanting to stay there playing. Look, Mom! And the kid and the parents are like, come on, get over. You know what happened to Pharaoh? I ain't playing. Go on. You know what I'm saying? And everybody's trying to move on through. And the kids are, this is so awesome. I'm going to build a whole fort here. I'm going to play here. It's awesome. It's great. You know, I'm in the water, but I'm not. I mean, just can you be there? And God, in the midst of this miraculous moment, speaks to the heart of Joshua and says, stop! Go back and send 12 men. What? Go back. Send men back? We've been there. Go back. And pick up stones as a man can carry. And you send 12 men and you all pick up a stone. And I want you to build two memorials. One in the riverbed and one at your camp. Because I know people and people will forget. We'll forget. And we'll move past this moment. And it'll be a great moment in the moment. But there are new moments in the promised land. There are new things to do. God was saying, don't you go and bring everyone forward without going and getting a stone that will remind you of where you've been and where you've came from and who brought you out. What do you think everybody was thinking that night? Don't you know there was a party happening that night? You know what I'm saying? Before they bust out the flute, before they bust out the pail and start to praise and get their praise on, and the whole camp starts to just, you know, honor God, there are stones being placed before the party. There are stones being placed before the party. And here's what I want you to know. Sometimes the best way to move forward is to go back and see where you've been. See, let me tell you, God loves it when we go back. Because when we go back, what did the stones represent? The stones represented a place and an opportunity to praise. The stones stones when they were going to be erected. You can't walk back past that stone without giving God some glory. You can't walk past that stone without going, thank you, God, look what you've done. You can't walk past the stone and go, God, you're doing it. See, you can't walk past something like that. And if you have, then your stones are not there anymore. Because you can't walk past something like that. What happened? When Jesus sent the 10 lepers and he healed them, he healed the 10 lepers. Y'all with me on this? It's in Luke. He healed the 10 lepers and they all left and he said, go show yourself to the Pharisees. Go show yourself to the religious people. Go show yourself to the priest and you'll be healed. One came back. And what does it say to that one? If you look it up in Luke, he came back praising. He came back saying, God, thank you. Thank you. And you know what Jesus said? It's done. It's done. Now, let me tell you this. You want to know the flip side about this? He was a Samaritan. All the other people were God's kids. But the heathen Samaritan, see, there's benefits to growing up and being a part of church. Now, I got to say all this so that nobody gets religious on me. And then there are not. And I'm going to walk you through this. See, the religious people, we know the truth about God. And we hear it coming to church. Doesn't mean we understand it, but we hear it. And so we believe we get the promises. The promises of God are yes and amen. And God will give us, and God will give us. And we kind of turn God into this big sugar daddy that just gives us and gives us. And we expect it. But this old boy that was the Samaritan didn't expect anything. There was no years of Abraham and you're this and you're this. All he knew is I was sick and now I'm healed and I'm blessed. I'm lucky. I don't know how it happened, but God, you're so good. It wasn't a, well, that's supposed to happen. That's what God does. And if we're not careful, we will be people of God that so expect it that we never appreciate it when we get it. I tell you what, this one little heathen guy, he came back, made the trip back, and started praising, started giving God glory, started, whoa, I'm not worthy of this. And Jesus said, I know, you're healed. You know, in moving forward, and we're talking about going back, imagine what these 12 men were thinking. Go back. Go back. Let's build. We're moving forward, baby. We're in a new land. You want us to go pick up and dig up rocks when we could be building buildings? When we could be... But you know what? Here's the thing about going back. Going back will help you praise. When is the last time you went back and gave God praise for what you used to be and what you could have been? Going back and seeing where you came from is a good thing. It'll put praise in your mouth and gratitude in your heart. Go on and look at your old friends that were in high school when you were there, still talking about that one game that they won and had never moved past it. Go on and look back. Going and look back at the way you used to handle your finances. Going and look back at the love you used to walk in. Going and look at the way you used to talk to your spouse. And you'll see, I'm moving forward. Looking back is not a bad thing. Staying back is. Looking back, you know, that's one thing to look back and go, God, look at what you've done. Exceedingly and abundantly more than what I could ask, think, or imagine. But staying there, that's different. Sometimes the best way to continue moving forward is to take a quick step back and look. The 12 men went back where the priest stood and the Ark of the Covenant was, and they pulled up some big stones. They were there to gather and make memorial, a memorial, so that they would not forget. for all of us. September 11th, you remember where you were. You remember what was happening in your life. You remember what was going on. It was like a Pearl Harbor. It was a major event. And we built a memorial. And two lights shine up as high as that light can go. Why? So we don't forget. We don't forget the people that lost their lives. We don't forget an enemy that we're fighting. We don't forget the loved ones that were affected. And we don't forget a nation that rose up and said, we're not done. God wanted his people to not forget, but to remember. Why? Because he knows the struggles of maintaining in the promised land. We get moving forward. We start building families, communities, living life, pursuing the dream. And then it happens. People forget. Moments are lost. And stories cease. This is why I came to you today. To remind you to give him praise. To remind you to give him praise. Put that song back in your heart. Take a moment and remind your heart what is important. And praise is powerful. Say it. Praise is powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful. Praise allows God. When you praise God, it allows you to defeat your enemy. It removes self and it puts the focus back on God. Praise is powerful. The stones were there to be a reminder of how great God is. Church, where are your stones? Where are your stones? Where are the stones that you have? Do your children hear of God's great moments in your life? Come on. If we're not careful, and this is one of the major problems, is we come to church and we get theory. We get doctrine. We get how God will do it, but we never show the young people that he did it. And so we preach conceptual concepts of what God will do and how he will do it. And they sit there going, I've never seen it. I've never seen it. I've never seen it. Because we don't grab our stones. We all have stones. We all have areas that God has moved mightily in your life. Your salvation, coming through, your kids being saved. Your one kid was in the hospital. You were in bankruptcy. You have stones. There are stones there. And what I'm telling you is you have to make sure that your kids' kids, understand the faithfulness of God in your family. God's been on our family. Listen, we might not have everything that we need, and we might not have everything that we want, more say, but we got, I'm telling you, we got some stones, and you need to know these stones. You need to hear this. I hear parents tell me, well, you know what, I don't really share my testimony with my kids. Why? I'm not talking about giving the devil glory. But I'm talking about giving God some glory. God brought me through, broke that addiction in my life. Everything's been changed. Christian ministries, we got some stones in here. And people want to see the stones. In Jesus' day and time, Jesus did miracles. And those miracles opened eyes. And in our day and time, miracles, yes, but we all have stones that this community can look at. You were used to be that kind of husband, and now you're that kind of husband. You used to be that kind of wife, and now you're this kind of wife. You used to have those kind of kids, and they got their hearts changed. You used to have this, and now you have this. And people see the stones and go, what's that? And you say, come on, let me tell you about it. Come over to my house. Let's go to lunch. Let's go over here. Come on, let me tell you about the stones. Church, you have broken generational curses off of your family. God saved your marriage. God intervened when your kids were sick. God promoted you for a job you didn't even ask for. Give him some praise. Give him some praise. Can you imagine as the days turned into months, months turned into years, and the story stopped being told with great excitement? And it just became one of
many stories. And finally, one day, a kid walks up and says, "Hey, Dad, what are those? Hey, Dad, what are those?" There's an old saying that every church is only one generation from closing its door. This moment was not, and here's the thing. You know, sometimes, and it's everybody, we try to remove the glory and position of God, and we put ourselves there. And we all do that all the time. It's not like you're a bad person, you do it. We always have to fight that because flesh wants to be first. But a lot of times we see a miracle and we go, look what happened for me. And the stones were about God. The story here is not that the river just parted. The story was the stones. God was saying, this event is not about you, it's about me. And so many times when we get blessed, the event is about what we got rather than what God did. And it's easy to praise Him when we're in a great moment of victory and blessing, but when it's hard, do you remember? When you've been waiting, do you remember? When you're frustrated, do you remember? Do you remember? Can you look at and see your own personal stones that you've carried? See, here's the thing. And I love how God works this. Because in this text, it says that each man carried a stone of his own weight. Each man carried a stone that he was capable of carrying. You don't have to carry my stone. You just have to carry yours. You don't have to carry my stone. You just got to carry yours. But you got to carry it, and you got to walk with it. And God says, there's a transfer here. I'll take your stuff. If you'll take my stuff, carry that stone. And it was not a pebble. It was not a little rock. It was a boulder. And some of these men, where they were camping out was 8 miles. You don't ever get to lose your stone. You don't ever get to a place where you leave your stone there and go forward and be this awesome person of God, because the stone is your testimony. The stone is what changes people's lives. The stone is what happens to get the people's and their heart's attention to a great and mighty God. You can't. Are you carrying your stone? You still got it? You still remember? You remember who you used to be? You remember how you used to think? Stones are so important. Why? Let's talk about this. Because they tell us who God is. What God can do. If you trust Him, the stones tell you that in due season, you reap. When you walked by the stone and looked at it, you knew there was a moment where Israel broke through. And breakthrough happened to them. Breakthrough can happen to me. God is no respecter of person. It's coming. It's here. See, I got my stones. And if you have your stones and I can see your stones, and I'm seeing a community of stones, then guess what? Woo! I'm ready. I want my stone. A stone will get your attention. When you want to quit, it'll be a second wind. It would be hard as a man to want to go back once you're looking at the stones. If I would have built city council right there on stones. Every meeting, stones would have been behind me. Every meeting, y'all want to talk? Let's talk. Where y'all want to go? But if we forget our stones, then we forget how to praise the Lord. Too many times we focus on the problem and not God. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "You will keep him, listen, in perfect peace, those mind that stay on you." When your mind stays on God, God will keep you in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Your stone is a teaching tool. Your stone is what you use to train your children. Your stone is a memorial
of what God has done. And God still has stones. This communion is a stone. It's a memorial of what God's done. Baptism is a stone. You give up your life, and there is a newness of life, and there's a death, burial, and resurrection. It's a stone. We still have stones. And I want to talk to you about it, and I want to give you just a few thoughts. Can you stay with me? Can you stay with me? I want to give you a few thoughts on how to give Him praise. I'm going to give you a few thoughts on how to give Him praise. The first, and just I'm just random thoughts that I was praying through. Thoughts on how to give Him praise. First, give Him your life. You want to give Him praise? Give Him your life. Give Him your life. Sell out to Him. Don't be one foot in, one foot out. Give Him your life. Be saved. Come into the knowledge of who God is. Let Christ be the North Star in your life. If you're not saved today, today's the day. That stone is number one. And the biggest decision of your life that you'll ever make is who you will serve. The Bible says, choose this day who you will serve. Don't wait. Give in to the Lord. Humble yourself right here, right now, and begin a song that you will sing forever. The song that you sing when your knees bow, you will never stop singing. Joshua was a type and shadow of Jesus, and Joshua means saviors. And so here is what God is telling you, is Joshua was sent by God to open up the Jordan. Okay? God was used. God made it all happen, but Joshua is sent to carry the children of Israel to the promised land, which they could never get to. Everybody with me on this? Then God told Joshua, send 12 men back and have them pick up stones to talk about what I've done. Jesus came. And He was sent to bridge the divide that would keep you out of the Holy of Holies. And when He died on a cross, that curtain ripped, and now you can enter in. Listen to me, He's coming. God now has brought you in, and He sent 12 men to start talking about what God had done. 12 disciples preaching, teaching, reminding. You want to praise the Lord? Give Him your life. And I know that I'm not just talking to the heathen that do not know God. I'm talking to people in church. Give Him your life. Second thing. Ways to give Him praise. The second thing is this. We got to remove the sin and repent. We got to remove the sin and repent. Let's not think that we can walk in and praise an almighty God with a stench that is in our heart or soul. Man, God sees that. Remember in the Old Testament, there were times when God said, man, don't sacrifice to me. I don't want to smell what you got cooking. Get it right in here. We can't come in and just think the song is enough. God doesn't care what comes out of your mouth. He cares what's happening in here. In here, when you're driving your car and you're all alone, you're thinking those thoughts, you're in your house. What is the praise song in here? Frustrated, turmoil, anger, lust, jealousy, rage, insecurity, inferiority, offense. That's not going to quiet for you to sing along. Listen, this worship can be just a sing-along, or it can be praise. What does it say in the Bible? Out of the abundance of the, come on, the mouth. Does your heart agree with the songs that we sing? Does your heart agree? Church, I'm challenging you. Does your heart agree with the songs that we sing? Or do you sing them and bypass your heart? Stop playing. Some of you in here, if you're in a moment of rebellion, fall to your knees. Repent. It doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't have to keep going towards destruction. Well, it's already bad. It doesn't matter. Well, let's see how bad it can get. Can it get bad? Some of y'all, can it get bad? It can get bad. We don't have to go there. Come on, we don't have to go there. Humble yourself before God and allow Him to restore you. Ways to give Him praise. Bring Him your difficulties. Bring Him your difficulties. Listen, and I know you're thinking, well, that doesn't sound like praise. But you know what? As a father, when my kids need me, that shows me some honor. That shows me some honor. I'm not trying to micromanage their life, but when they come to me and they say, Dad, I don't know what to do about this. And as they get to be adults, they'll have many influences that they could go to. But when they come to me, that is a sign of, Dad, I want your involvement in my life. I want your presence in my life. I'm not saying I will do it exactly, but I definitely want to hear what you have to say. Too many times we try to work it out on our own, and you can't. You can't work it out on your own. You got to go to the Lord. And that's a type of praise. When you lament with Him, when you dump on Him, when you say, God, I don't even know what to think about this. Should I move? Should I this? Should I grow? Should I expand? Should I take this business? Should I contact this person? Should I do this? Should I do what? Tell me. God's up there going, yeah, yeah. I'm a source in your life. I don't get an honorable mention at the VMAs. But you come to me. Yeah. Ways to give Him praise. Ways to give Him praise. Let me say this. Another one is you praise Him no matter what. No matter what, we don't go by our feelings. We don't go by sight. We don't go by if the pastor talked to us or the pastor didn't talk to us or if the greeter greeted me with a special handshake and a dab-a-doo and a this and a peppermint. You know what I'm saying? But we have so many things that can hinder our praise. Flesh will always want to hinder your praise. He'll work it out. You got to give Him praise. He'll give you wisdom. Listen, I'm trying to and wherever you're at, I'll just tell you this, that if when it's good, when it's bad, God is still good. God is still good. He is. He's still good. Come on. We should have had some people clapping on that. Come on. Come on. Help me out. He's good when you don't feel good. And we know that, but sometimes we hold back praise in order to make God move. And God, I have all this praise in my heart for you. When? I have all this praise, but I'm already expecting. I know what's going to happen. And you know what? We all got our scriptures. We all know, got our ass scriptures on, like, you know what I'm saying, the top 10 speed dial. You know what I'm saying? Shaking together, running over, see that, speak to the mountain, everybody go. We all know that. You know what I'm saying? And so we got things that we're asking for and believing God for. And I am not saying that that is wrong at all. But you can't be grateful only when you're asking. You can't be great. There's not an attitude of great. It's not thank you when you give me. Thank you when you give me. But if you don't give me, for the rest of my life, I will enter in unto heaven. And I will be there for eternity. And I will not burn in hell. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. God is about to move in your life, but you praise Him no matter what. You've been asking for something, your debt to be paid off, for there to be a healing, more anointing, greater impact, better relationship with your kids. And you know what? You may not see it right now, but you praise Him no matter what, no matter what. The last thing I want to tell you, I appreciate you guys listening to me. I've been really praying, and God's been working with me on this. But I tell you this, the last thing, ways to give Him praise, is come together. When we come together, ways to give Him praise is when we come together. Man, we ought to rock hell. We don't agree. People, let me just tell you, we don't agree about nothing. Some of y'all are too hot. Some of y'all are too cold. Some of y'all like this. Some of y'all like, even in my own house, we can't agree on what people want to eat. You know what? You're a Republican. You're a Democrat. You're this. You're this. You're a Libertarian. You're some Aryan. You know, we can't agree. People can't agree. But what we can agree in is an almighty God. And what I'm telling you is I believe the devil's biggest attack is church day. Because if I can get you frustrated, if I can get you mad at your wife because she won't put on her makeup fast enough, and she's been in there an hour, and dear God, I'm honking. And the kids, right when you get out, they spill something on themselves, or there's not enough gas in the car. Did you not know we were going to church? They have church at a certain time, so we're there. Not so we're late. There's always these little attacks. And what I'm telling you is if we're not careful, we'll come into the house of God and we will not be in agreement. We'll all be focusing on our little tiff, our little sis, a little thing that happened with our sister, the little thing that happened with our brother, the fact that we're mad at our adult kids, the fact that we're, and we'll all have all these things. And so we sing a song with no heart. And you know what? The power of God. The greatest thing that we can do is come together corporately and sing this song. And I believe that, and God's doing that. And when the word is preached, that's my word, and that's a word to all of us. And we're moving together, and God's doing something. And this corporate coming together, I'm telling you, can give God some serious praise. It's not just a song and just offering and just a word. It is us stopping our day. You've worked hard all week. You've managed babies and kids and finances and business and clients. And we are stopping and we are saying, as a group of people, we came to praise. And I'm just telling you, the devil don't like that. The devil doesn't want us in one accord. The devil doesn't want, he wants little divisions and cliques, and we don't like them, and we don't talk to them, and you're a third aisle person, and you're a second aisle person, and you're this, and you're this, and we don't really associate with you because we don't know you, and we don't, and then, and that's what church is. And I don't want no church. Do you? Because that smells bad. Listen, I want a church that can praise, and that comes from people who can praise. Praise. Chad, if you'll come help me out. Here's the thing. I know you got to go. And I know that structure is a good part of service. I know that Paul constantly told Timothy, have structure. Don't let people all get all crazy and do whatever they want to do. You'll have mass mayhem. But church, when we get so regimented where we get nervous at 10 till 12 because we have to go, okay, let's think that through. Do you want your kids parents to think the same way? God, time's up. I know in the next 4 months it's football season and we got to go. We don't have a DVR up at the Sexton house. We got four channels, baby, and we got to rock it when we can. Some of y'all sitting on Easy Street with a DVR. Listen, that's fine. Y'all stay. What am I talking about? But what I'm saying is, if we get so my kids sometimes do that, but they're six. But I see 45-year-old. You done picked up your coffee five times. I get it. You want to go. I want you to. I'm just saying. But if we're going to come in here and we're going to have church, then you know what? There's got to be times when you can bring your family to the altar and y'all can let it out. Where you can come and get the prayer that you need. Where you can come and I want to praise Him. Come on, I want to saturate here in just a couple minutes. Chad, whenever you're ready, I just want to let God be God. Can we just take a minute? And it doesn't have to be just a sing along, but can it just be where we're God, what's your stones?
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more information about other messages by the pastors of Christian Ministries Church, please log on to our webpage at www.cmchurch.com. You can visit our online store, or you can download messages free from our podcast link.